Hello and welcome to Jibe Talking, the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles, and in this edition, we have a bit of a Kiwi theme going on. We chat to a couple of three-time Volvo Ocean Race winners, Brad Jackson and Stu Bannatyne, as they nail their colours to the mast for the next Volvo, Brad with Puma and Stu with Camper. Stu also tells us about his Melges 32 campaign with Samba Party. Then we hear from Russell Coutts as he outlines BMW Oracle's plans for the 34th America's Cup. We discuss those with Yachting World and indeed our token Brit this week, Matt Sheehan, who also looks ahead to the TP52s in the Audi Meg Cup. Well, we've got a lot to get through, so let's crack on with the Volvo Sailing Podcast news headlines. Gales in the Bay of Biscay sees the second leg of the Mini Pavoise postponed. Britair leads the fleet in the race to St Barts in the Transat AG2R. The first event in the Audi Meg Cup gets underway in Cascais in Portugal next week. Anna Tunnicliffe has beaten Claire Leroy in the final of the 12th Women's Match Race Criterium. And Kiwi windsurf legend Barbara Kendall has retired from the sport. OK, so now the teams that have already announced their participation in the next Volvo Ocean Race have begun the scramble, the traditional scramble, to sign up the world's top offshore sailors for the 2011-12 regatta. Among those names, Kiwi Brad Jackson, and he's joined Kenny Reid's Puma campaign.
After the last race finished, had a bit of time off, as you need, and get away from it for a little while. By the time Christmas came round, I'd been at home a fair bit, and sort of getting itchy feet and felt like it was time to get back into it. Fortunately enough, I was sort of in contact with Kenny and he was very keen to go in the race again, so the timing worked out pretty well and we ended up meeting up just after Christmas and we talked about it and it seemed like it was going to work.
So you're back with Puma this time and another guy on board will be Tony Mutter. This will be the third successive race you'll have gone for together. Are you becoming part of a double act now?
No, we're not getting married or anything like that, but we sort of get on pretty well and we fit the roles that a team needs early on. Tony looks after all the aero sort of side of things and it's just quite a big job in itself, so no, it's always nice to be back with a few of the guys that you know.
Now, obviously, Brad, you're looking for a third successive victory in the race now. You must feel, therefore, that Puma have got a very good chance next time.
Yeah, well, for sure. I think, you know, I've been very lucky over the years to be involved with good teams, so, you know, I always try to make sure that I'm in a good team, and to do that, you know, you've got to have the right thing. So I think when you get involved early, and especially with Puma, everything's there to make a good job of it. So it's like any good team. There's no excuses to not do your job properly.
It was interesting there, Brad, you mentioned the early start. Usually perhaps there's one, maybe two teams who have announced and started the preparation at this distance out from the race. But it looks as if it's going to be rather more competitive this time round. What do you make of the fact that so many teams have signed up to the race so early?
Yeah, well, they have. And to be honest, I mean, I'm starting plenty early enough for my liking, but the other guys that are into it now are getting into it. And I guess with the new rules and the new structure of the race, I think, you know, you've got to take your time and think about things and you don't have many shots at trying sails or doing that much sailing. So there's a bit more R&D involved, I think, this time.
Now, you're back in Alicante again. You spent quite a lot of time in Spain with Ericsson last time. Are you expecting another extended stay in Spain this time?
Not so much. I think we'll be... Newport will be our base, but we'll obviously be heading out from there quite a lot and doing a fair bit of offshore stuff when we can. And but basically, Newport will be our home, yeah.
Just looking at one or two of the other teams, I probably should have asked you this a bit earlier, Brad. What did you make of being a proud Kiwi yourself, Team New Zealand and Camper getting involved this time?
Oh, I think it's great that they've got an entry in the race, for sure. You know, for me personally, I mean, timing-wise, it wasn't an option at the time. And like I said, Kenny came along and we get on really well. And, you know, I'm really happy where I am. So it's just one of those things that's you make your decisions and, you put your heart and soul into it.
And another reason, I guess, to celebrate the next race is back to Auckland this time as well.
I'm very happy about that, mainly because you don't have to do the 40-day leg, so managed to break that up in the middle and haven't been home on a Volvo race for a couple of races, so it's going to be great coming into Auckland.
Final just thought, Brad, what position are you taking on Puma? What is your role within the team, and how much will you be doing in the build-up to the race?
Yeah, basically pre-race. At the moment, I'm called the design coordinator. So basically, I'll be working with Juan's office, and you know, with our rig designers, sail designers, and just tying everyone in together so that we're all on speaking the same language. And so that's what we're concentrating on pre-race and during the build-up. And then I'll be a watch captain on the boat when the race starts.
Brad, a three-time Volvo winner, as his compatriot Stu Bannatyne. No one's won four. Stu, however, has signed up for the Campers campaign with Emirates Team New Zealand.
Well, a bit of a long story, really. I had been trying to put my own Volvo race campaign together for a while, exploring various options, and always been my goal to be a part of a team with a good shot at winning the race. And I felt as time was marching on and I didn't have the resources or any confirmation that I'd get to run my own campaign, then I accepted an offer from Dolphin to begin some talks about joining the camper team. And I'm very happy that after just a few short days of meeting with the main guys at Team New Zealand Canter, that I was very happy with the arrangement there and decided to join that team. And I hope that from now on, obviously, I'm going to have some good input into that team. And if we do a reasonable job, I hope that we can arrive on the start line next Volvo race and amongst the top teams with a good shot at doing well in the race.
Now, Stu, you were part of the Ericsson campaign last time when they started almost miles before anybody else, with the exception of Mobistar, Telefonica. But this time there seem to be a lot of teams starting out a long way in advance. Is that going to make, do you think, for closer racing in the next Volvo?
I think the racing will be close in the next race. And I think the main reason is the cost containment measures that the Volvo organisation have put in place, particularly the restriction on two-boat testing and the restriction on the number of pre-race sales available to teams. So what they've done is basically not limit spending, but they've pretty much limited the advantage that more spending and an earlier start to a campaign gives the team. So although the camper Team New Zealand effort is starting a bit later than some of the other teams, and we don't have an older version boat to train with, I feel that because of these new rules and procedures in place, that if we do a good job with our R&D and a good job building the boat and assemble a good team, then we can still make the most of our pre-race sales and so on, and turn up at the start line with a good shot of being very well prepared. And the fact that there are sort of three or four other teams out there already with older boats doing some sailing, I think it's going to be a very, very close competition. And on top of that, we have the obvious scenario too, where the class is now onto its sort of third or even fourth generation of design, so we should see the differences in boat design becoming smaller, which always makes for a much closer race at the end of the day.
And of course, you've sailed with Chris Nicholson before on Mobistar a couple of races ago. Is that as a team, do you work well together?
No, very much so. Very much enjoyed sailing with Chris in the last race with Mobistar that we did together, and very much looking forward to working with him again on this project and sailing together around the world.
I have to say this really, and it is with my tongue in my cheek, but being as it is Emirates Team New Zealand, how will it feel to have an Aussie as the skipper?
not a problem at all for me. I have a lot of respect for Nico, and as far as this race has always been, it's always been an international contest between teams. It's never been about countries competing against each other, and I'm very happy to have Chris there, and it just makes our team a whole lot stronger.
Now, Stu, you did mention that you were trying to put your own campaign together, and how close did you come, and two, how difficult was it to go out there and try and put your own team together?
It's always a very difficult prospect trying to raise in the vicinity of 20 million euros for the Volvo project, and certainly out of New Zealand and even some of the overseas countries that we were looking for sponsorship, a very tough ask. And we came pretty close with a few options, but as I said earlier, at the end of the day, I decided that to be involved in a competitive team that I had to join up about this time, so made that decision to stop trying to do my own thing and join Team New Zealand.
Does it remain an ambition, though, Stu, to one day skipper your own team in a Volvo campaign?
Oh, absolutely. That ambition is still strong, and I hope that the experience of being with Team New Zealand will stand me in good stead to try and get a campaign together for the next race.
Well, look forward very much to seeing you in the next Volvo, but you've obviously got things to do at the moment. You're part of Samba Party's Melges 32 campaign. How's that going, and what have you got planned for the summer?
That's right. The Melges 32 is probably the most competitive sort of middle-sized wonders I'm racing at the moment. And we have a project going with the Samba team with the goal of doing well and hopefully winning the World Championship, which is to be held in San Francisco in September. So towards that, we're doing a few regattas here in Europe. We've got the Europeans on this week in Sardinia, and then we have another European event in Lake Garda in July, followed by about three events in the USA, late July, August, and early September, leading up to the World Championships there. So while design and construction goes on for the Volvo boat, I'm keeping my hand in by doing a bit of racing in various regattas around the world, part of which is the Samba Party Melges 32 program.
And are you enjoying the role as tactician aboard?
Oh, very much so. I've always enjoyed sailing as a tactician, and particularly on these smaller boats, we have to share that role around, but I spend a lot of time just hiking on little boats, which is interesting, and takes me back a bit, a few years, but it's great fun, and the Melges 32 class is very, very competitive. It's a great class to be involved in.
Brad and Stu, two big names in offshore sailing then, but in the world of the America's Cup, few names are bigger than Russell Coutts, who faced the world's press in Rome to outline Defender BMW Oracle's plans for AC34.
Will BMW Oracle take any steps to update the deed of gift?
Well, I think nothing's off the table. If we did consider that, we would do it in consultation and cooperation with the other teams. As we've said in the past, we think the deed of gift is a fantastic document for the age of it. But having said that, there are some things that perhaps would be helpful in the modern commercial world. Things like, I'll give you one example, whoever wins the next America's Cup could agree to have the one afterwards according to a set time frame. So rather than that being open, all of the teams would be able to plan on, for example, a four-year cycle of the event, such that we can engage sponsors and make our team planning and hire our personnel on an ongoing basis. So changes like that, I believe, will be discussed, but I must add that amending the deed of gift, I don't think anyone believes that will be an easy or a short process to achieve.
Do you envisage to limit the number of boats that every team can build? And the second question is, in which year and with which type of boats are you thinking to start the annual series?
a lot of this is in discussion because, as I've said, we still have the design rule process in place, and so we don't really know right now what that boat will be and or how long it will take to build and so forth. So the planning is still evolving, but certainly by 2012 we expect to have a regular series in the new boats, and we are of course in discussion with World Sailing Teams Association about those events, and also the events in 2011, because we want to get these events started as soon as possible. For me, everyone knows that I've sailed monohulls for many years, and still enjoy sailing those. I've sailed a little bit of multi-hull as well, but this is going to be a decision taken by the competitors and the potential teams. And also, as I've said, one of the things we need to do is to have a boat that's compelling on television. And you may well see some cooperation amongst the teams over the next few months, where we're actually trying some and testing some ideas for television and making sure that the concepts work.
The selection series that will take place before the America's Cup will be organised by Louis Vuitton?
It'll be organised by the... the teams themselves are going to decide, and this is the challenging teams who will decide what their final selection series will be. We will have a regular series of events. We need that, and all of the competitors have agreed with that. All of the competitors that we know have agreed with that. So we will have a regular series of events, and then the idea at this stage is that there will be a final challenger selection series at the venue, where the teams themselves would decide on that format, and then the winner of that series would go ahead and race the defender, or the America's Cup champion, which is us. And may I add, we've already taken a decision that the America's Cup champion will not race in the challenger selection series at the venue.
We believe, I think, that the next America's Cup could be considered or will be considered a milestone in the history of America's Cup. The question is for both of you, which are the key elements that could or can avoid in the future to come back to uncomfortable situation?
Have all of the discussion and debate over the rules of the competition now, and set those rules before the entry deadline with the teams. That's probably the key element. And then also have a good governance. In other words, a good expert panel, as I've suggested, provided the other teams agree. It would be the international jury, in my opinion, that would be there on hand to resolve all the experts in a speedy way. That way the teams have no need to go to the courts to argue any issues.
I'd like to know if you are planning to restore some kind of nationality rule in the Cup, nationality for the crew?
Well, that hasn't really been discussed at any length, or it's been proposed by a few of the teams. Personally, I would be in favour of that. But we do have to discuss that with some of the other teams, because one of the important strategies for the America's Cup, I believe, and certainly Larry Ellison believes, is that we must open the competition up to new territories, and we do not want to impose a rule that would make it difficult for a new team to come in if they have many of the other criteria. But personally, my answer is, I think, certainly, if not short-term, definitely long-term, the America's Cup should have a nationality component in the cruise.
Russell, some of your old colleagues at Alinghi, when they were defending, were arguing how hard it is to defend now that they're such strong challengers. They were talking about having possibly two boats while everyone else had one. They were talking about entering the Challenger Selection Series before the actual America's Cup itself. Will you do anything like that? Will there be any advantage for the defender for the 34th America's Cup?
Well, I don't think the fact that the Cup's difficult to defend is necessarily a bad thing. It's probably a good thing. You know, I think many of the people on our team love a good challenge, that's for sure, and we'll look forward to racing against strong teams. And if the changes that we're proposing make it more difficult for us to defend the Cup, so be it. You know, as I said, if this creates a much better event, much more competitive an event, and I believe it will, on a sporting platform and commercial platform, then everyone wins here, and it's going to be a much better event. So no, we won't be putting in place things that are going to apply to us and not apply to the other teams and so forth. We will have to have some sort of defender series, and the number of boats is in discussion at the moment as to, you know, how that would work, the number of boats per team.
Well, it's off to Cascai now, and Matt Sheehan, technical editor of Yachting World. And Matt, we were been listening, obviously, to Russell Coutts and what he had to say at the press conference regarding the 34th America's Cup in Rome recently. First of all, initial impressions of what came out of that press conference.
Well, I think one of the things was shock, actually. Shock at hearing words like fair rules, independent management, mutual consent. I mean, that's the kind of language that's been missing from the previous America's Cup for some time. So, admittedly, it's a tongue-in-cheek comment. But, I mean, that's really what characterised the last cup for many people, was the lack of all those things. And he stood up at the press conference last week and started off by saying, you know, the next event has to have fair rules, we have to have cooperation, and this is about working with other teams. So right from the outset, it was music to a lot of people's ears.
Now, obviously, you mentioned the tongue-in-cheek. Have we heard this before, or do you feel that this is now a chance for the event to be taken forward, or even perhaps, if you like, taken back to former times?
Well, that's a very, very good point, Guy. We have heard this before, and that was way back in 87 when people had, when the cup had been bound up in the courts. But it was a slightly different situation in that the racing had happened first because the courts had said, right, go race, and if there's still an argument, you can come back and see us afterwards, which is what happened, and it got bogged down. But anyway, the net result was the same, in that people looked at the event and said, look, this mustn't happen again. We can't have this. And, of course, out of that came what we now call the Version 5 boats, but came the International America's Cup class boats, of which nearly 100 have been built and proved to be an enormous success. So if there is precedent, and I think there is, then it's a good sign for the future, given that we're going through this cycle once again.
Now, with BMW Oracle in charge, they interestingly have said that they'd like to see the international jury involved rather than perhaps taking on everything themselves. They're placing also, it seemed to me, much more responsibility with the challengers as well. Was that the feeling you got?
Very much so, very much so. It's all about the cooperation. Coutts kept stressing that he couldn't tell people exactly what was going to happen because it was going to be what the groups wanted to do, what they decided in the end, and how the agreement went. So this sort of cooperation was something that he kept coming back to time and time again, as was the independent management. And I think one of the particularly interesting things that he said was about the protocol, and I just can't remember his exact words, but he was talking about the protocol, and normally the protocol is something that's sort of almost jealously guarded. It's between the defender and the new challenger of record. And people often sort of think that the protocol is usually skewed towards the defender's interests. And he was saying, again, right from the outset, that he had a team of, I don't think he called them consultants, but effectively consultants who are going to be looking at the protocol in order to try and make it as fair as possible. So he kept stressing this fair rules issue all the way through.
Now, what kind of timetable are you expecting them to work to, Matt?
Well, that was one of the things that we didn't know much about. We didn't have a specific timetable, and now we have. The first real deadline is the end of August this year, where they're expecting the protocol to be out by then. So we'll have the basic rules of the next event. Then by September, we should have the design rules, so we'll know what boats are going to be in the 34th America's Cup. And at the moment, it's still open between a monohull and a multi-hull, and they're looking into both options. But by the end of September, we'll know. And then come the end of the year, December, we should know, we should have the notice of race and the venue. And of course, that's going to be really important. Where is the 34th America's Cup going to be held? Well, by the end of this year, we should know. Now, just before that, actually starting on the 1st of October and running through to the end of January next year, is the period when challengers can make their official challenges. So at the moment, people can say they want to challenge the America's Cup, but no one can actually do anything until the 1st of October. But again, at least we've got a date, so we have got now a timeline for some of the real basic things that need to happen.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned that none of the teams can officially challenge, if you like, but we've got a pretty good idea what some of those teams will be, and in fact, many of them you're going to be watching in a different format at the moment, aren't you?
That's absolutely right, yes. I mean, in the meantime, for a lot of the teams that are interested in competing in the 34th America's Cup, they're having to find ways of making sure that they can build their teams. And one of the ways of doing that is in the Audi Med Cup series. And the Kiwis, Emirates Team New Zealand, they're here, as indeed are the British Team Origin with their brand new boat. So they're here for the first time. And there's All for One, and there's Luna Rossa's here, and there's a number of other teams that have America's Cup aspirations that are racing in the TP52 Audi Med Cup series, but using that not only for the event itself, but as a means of building their teams, particularly the design side of things, trying to get the design loop right. And of course, that's a very important part of any campaign, and particularly an America's Cup campaign. And a lot of these teams talk of the TP52 series as being able to provide just that. So there's going to be a lot of focus on that. The other issue, or the other event, rather, that teams are going to be focusing on is the Louis Vuitton Trophy. And that's in this year. It'll be held in the version 5 boats of the last America's Cup. And that goes to a number of key events. So when you put those in, when you have the Audi Med Cup and the LV Trophy and some of the other match racing that goes on, most of the teams have actually got a pretty full year.
Matt, let's finish with the Med Cup. Few less events this year, few less boats, fewer boats. What are you expecting from the Med Cup this year?
I think it's going to be tight racing. I mean, the organisers are talking of saying, yes, the numbers are down on what they were last year, but they're saying, perhaps rather unsurprisingly, that the quality is up. But I think they do have a good point. I mean, the quality is right up there, and over the years, the Med Cup, the racing has become more and more refined and closer and closer. And you walk along the dock down here and have a look at some of these contenders, you'd be hard-pressed to actually sort of separate them out and say, well, that's a group that's going to be at the front, and those guys, well, they'll be lucky if they get anywhere near the front. It's really not like that. It sort of was a few years ago, but it's got very, very hotly contested now.
Okay, well, that's it for the latest edition of Jibe Talkin'. Please join us again next time when we'll have all the latest from the world of sailing. In the meantime, remember to check in at regular intervals to www.volvooceanrace.org.